ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu addressed the believers, he addressed the mu'mineen, and he said in the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and completely, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is your open and clear enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the believers. It seems strange because he is saying to the believers, enter into Islam. If you are a believer already, why do you need to be told to enter into Islam? How do you become a believer without entering into Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, enter into Islam, how much? Completely, totally, fully. When we are a believer, we have believed in the kalima and we have spoken the kalima. So we are a believer with our tongue. But a true believer is a believer where this kalima has entered not only his speech, but it has entered his heart, it has entered his sight, it has entered his hearing, it has entered every decision that he makes, it has entered his attitudes, it has entered every action that he takes, it has entered his family, his life, his culture, his environment, his akhlaq, his manners, his dealings. This is the meaning of being a believer. Completely and totally entering Islam. Somebody asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with ikhlas will enter Jannah. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the meaning of saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with ikhlas? What is the ikhlas of the kalima? He said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. It keeps you away from haram. Rasulullah ﷺ said, you cannot be a believer. He said, you cannot be a believer until you have submitted and subjugated your desires to the deen which I have brought. You cannot be a believer. It's not a matter of saying, I am 20% a believer, I am 80% a believer. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you cannot be a Muslim. It is either or, this or that. You cannot be a believer until you have subjected your desires to the deen which I have brought. He did not say, you cannot be a believer until you say, La ilaha illallah. You can't be a believer until you have prayed. No. Until you subject your desires to the deen which I have brought. The reason I am saying this is because in the last couple of days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows what he wants to show. If we look at our lives, and if we see what we have done with how we practice Islam, you will find that this is the key problem that we have, which is, that we have made the deen subject to our desires. For the Sahaba, the deen was supreme. The deen was muqaddam. The deen came first. And everything else would be adjusted to fit the deen. And if there was something which did not fit the deen, it would be discarded. This was the principle of the Sahaba. This is what Allah has ordered. This will be done. We are not trying to alter the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not going fatwa shopping to see if I can get a compatible fatwa with my own desires. This is what Allah has ordered. This is what I will do. Now, what about this aspect of my life? For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to make our marriages simple. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa showed us. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa come? To demonstrate what Allah has ordered. Otherwise, there is no meaning. If there is no point in the coming of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam if it was not to demonstrate the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to pray. We could have prayed. Why did we need Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He didn't simply come to say, Allah told you to pray. Allah could have told us in many ways. He came to show us the meaning of salah. What is the meaning of salah? What is the meaning of prayer? He demonstrated that for us. So also in every aspect of life. So Allah told us, He gave us this way in which the joining of a man and woman become halal, which is called the nikah. Rasulullah ﷺ demonstrated to us how it is to be done. So we know this. This is not a mystery. It's not something we have to discover. We know this. Alhamdulillah. Now, question of my marriage. Not mine. I'm saying the individual's marriage. Or the marriage of his children or her children. What format do we follow? It's very simple. There is no complication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the judges over ourselves. If we don't want to judge, no problem. One day Allah will judge us. So now that I have to conduct a marriage, whether it is my own or whether it is that of my children, what format do I follow? It's as simple as that. If my format is different from the format of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I have not made my desires subservient to the deen that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. And what did he say about that? He said, then you are not a Muslim. I'm not sitting here giving fatwa of kufr to anybody. I am merely narrating to you the hadith. Go look it up. He said, you cannot be a Muslim until you make your desires subservient and subject to the deen which I brought. So we go and see, what did he do? What we are doing today, is it the same? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam married. His own marriages he conducted. What did he do? He conducted his marriage. And then what did he do? He then did a walima. Right? There was a nikah. There was a walima. Was there a sangeet? Was there a chauthi? Did he have a manja? Did he have sanchak? Did he have mehndi? After his wedding, did he have jumagi? So how come we do all this? He did the nikah and then he did a walima. Khalas. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, from the Asharu Mubashara, from the 10 people who have promised Jannah in this life, he conducts his wedding in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present in Medina at that time. Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu does not even invite Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the wedding. He does not even invite Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the nikah. The next day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him. He saw some, what we call in Hyderabad in Urdu, arash, you know, the sparkly stuff. He saw some of that on his clothes. He said, what is this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, yesterday I got married. I did my nikah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what did you give for mehr? Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiyallahu anhu indicated with his hand the size and he said, this much of gold. What is the question Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him? Did he say, how come you never invited me? Did he ask that? No. Did he get offended? How is it you never invited me? What is the question he asked him? What did you give for mahar? Why did he ask him that question? Because that is part of the nikah. That is the sharia. If you are conducting a nikah and you have not paid the mahar, then how is your nikah valid? We are not saying it is not invalid because there is some, allowance, where some flexibility, where you can say, okay, I have not paid it today, I will pay it tomorrow. But what is the ideal? You pay it right then. No tomorrow. How much nikah? How much mahar? Today everybody says Fatima mahar. Fatima radhiyallahu anha was not Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's only daughter. What was the mahar of Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha? What was the mahar of Umm Kulthum radhiyallahu anha, who were married to Uthman ibn Affan radhiyallahu anhu? You want to give the minimum possible mahar. You are saying mahar Fatima not because you have got any love for Fatima radhiyallahu anha, but because you have got love for your money. You don't want to give that mahar to the girl. The mahar of the wife of Uthman ibn Affan radhiyallahu anhu was 40,000 dinar gold. What is the value of 40,000 gold dinar today? Pay that. That is also the mahar of the daughter of the Nabi alayhi salam. We got this Fatima mahar from where? We stick to that from where? I'm not saying it is wrong. But I'm saying that if you are saying the mahar of the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the others were also his daughters. How come nobody quotes this? Because it's the love for the money. It's not love for Fatima radhiyallahu anha. So did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his weddings, did he do all these things? How come we do it today? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the deen is what he brought. It is not what you invented, not what I invented. It is not what somebody else invented for us. But we do, and we participate in it. The one doing it and the one participating are equal. The one doing ghibat and the one listening to ghibat are both equal. The one backbiting and the one listening to that backbiting are both equal. The one slandering somebody, the one mocking somebody, and the one laughing at that are both equal. So what must we do? The reason I'm saying this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what will be the result of those who pick and choose in the deen that He sent. Allah said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Tomorrow we'll talk about this in more detail. But just to close the loop today, again Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you take something from the book? Do you have iman on something from the book? And you reject something else from the book? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ. And Allah said, the one who does this, for him, what is Allah promising? خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah said, I will give him difficulties and trials and tribulations and problems in this life. I will make his life hard for him. This life. And then, on the يَوْمُ الْآخِرَةِ, on the day of judgment, يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Allah said, on the day of judgment, they will be turned towards and they will be given the worst of punishment. Who are these people? Are these people those who have completely rejected Islam? I am not a Muslim. I have left Islam. I never accepted Islam. Is it that? No. They are taking something and they are leaving something else. What are they taking? That which they like. What are they leaving? That which they don't like. Why is this such a big problem? Because this is a big problem because this completely overturns and inverts the meaning of Islam. What is the meaning of Islam? To submit our desires to the hukum of Allah. What are we doing? We are submitting the hukum of Allah to our desires. Complete opposite. Supremacy of Allah versus supremacy of the self. I want to do this.
Somebody says, yes, you may want to do it, but the Prophet ﷺ never did it. Allah has not ordered it. I don't care. I don't care. I have to do. So I will do. This is our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you do this, then I will fill your life with problems. I will give you diseases. Your money you will spend in hospital bills. I will make your life miserable. I will make your life full of anxiety and insecurity and problems. And you will have accidents. And you will have problems and you will lose your money. And you will lose your izzah in this dunya. And then we are not done. We are not done. And on the day of judgment, you will be thrown into the worst of punishment. Please, I didn't say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Go look up in Surah Al-Baqarah. I remind myself and you, this deen is not a joke. If you think it is a joke, most problem, most welcome. Please do what you want. It's not a joke. This deen promises us a beautiful life in this dunya. Hayatan tayyiba. Allah said a beautiful life in this dunya. A life which is free from stress. A life which is full of goodness. Full of izzah. People will love you. They will respect you. They will help you. They will do everything. And then on the day of judgment, Jannatul Firdaus will ala bi ghairi hisab inshaAllah. This is one choice. Or the other choice is, live your life according to your desires, no problem. Ignore the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make all the excuses you want. None of those are valid, but you can make them. For that, then suffer in this world. And on the day of judgment, suffer even more. This is the choice. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the intelligence to make an intelligent choice, because that choice we will have to live with, not only here, but also in the akhirah forever. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.